Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Project Independence and You here at WCWP.org and 88.1 FM on your radio. My name is Rebecca Miller, and I will be guest hosting the radio show this morning. We have been speaking with Jennifer Kona, who is chair of the board of trustees at the Long Island Alzheimer's and Dementia Center. And before we took break, I know, Otto, you were bringing up a point that you wanted to kind of continue on.
Well, you know, my opinion, and as you know, is that technology is here to stay. And it's very important for seniors to accept that as a fact and try to do whatever they can to get over any hurdles to address that, to do something about it. And the situation that we're talking about, being a caregiver in a home with a loved one who has Alzheimer's or any form of dementia, even makes that even more magnified. And I was just curious, does LIAD provide any support as far as that goes? Like, if people are not up to speed with technology, do they try to help them get up to speed? Because like Project Independence does that. They try to teach people Zoom, and that's making an assumption that you have a device that's capable of doing Zoom. You know, so you go back to the real basics. But I was just curious, how deep does LIAD get in that?
We've tried to help people. It's a little bit outside of our resource ability because we only have so many resources we can allocate to that. But so that's why we've offered different platforms, FaceTime, video chats, Zoom, so that people, if they're familiar with one over the other, they can choose what they, you know, how they avail themselves of our services. But to your point, I mean, that is a really big deal. And I know in my firm, in Kona Elder Law, we will bring in and do programming for seniors to teach them the basics, whether that is how to use FaceTime, how to use your iPhone, how to stay connected with grandchildren, if that's what they want to do, because we do have to stay on top of it. And just speaking for myself, I know there's so many things I can't do, but luckily I still have one kid left in my house right now. But when she goes off to college in the fall, what am I going to do? I mean, I'm always afraid for that already because, you know, it's a constantly evolving thing and we can't be left behind, to your point. So we do all need to keep up with it because there are so many things that we do need to take advantage of for all of these things. And if we're going to be good caregivers for loved ones, or we want to do things for ourselves, we have to be constantly connected to technology. And we need programs like what you are offering so that we can stay on top of it. And the further behind that you fall, the harder it's going to be to catch up. So we are always trying to tell people in the community, the caregivers, the seniors, you know, at least stay on top of the basics so that you can use your devices for basic needs, you know, continue to be able to do those things, whether it is Zoom or FaceTime or things like that, so that you are availing yourselves of the things that are out there, and reach out for programming, you know, if you aren't staying on top of it. It's so, so important. And I do think that people are hearing that message, but they're afraid, they're fundamentally afraid of technology and afraid of change. And it is a scary thing. You know, it's like a lot of people are afraid of things like bill paying online and they want to write checks. You know, it's just that mentality. And I myself have fallen into that too. So we need a little more education to get people more comfortable about these kinds of issues.
I agree. You know, you have to have the mentality that first of all, you want to learn it, that you're not fighting it, that you think it's going to go away and you like the way you used to do it, you know, writing the check out or whatever. You really have to get past that. And maybe not everybody will. And frankly, that's not always an age factor either. I know younger people that are not nuts about technology and they don't engage it as much as they should. And when they get older, they're going to have a problem.
Right. So I think like there is a almost the silver lining of this pandemic, just like we talk about a lot, like even when there was Sandy, you know, all that we learned during that storm and that we were able to carry on with going forward in terms of planning. So, I mean, this kind of forced technology in order to service seniors. There was just no real other way because we couldn't have personal contact with them. And I know with Project Independence, we certainly learned a lot. I mean, we are able to, you know, we have this North Hempstead Television where we now can air programs on our government channel. And we're getting calls from seniors who, for the first time are connecting with Project Independence because maybe they're isolated, a little bit more isolated to begin with and don't get out as much, but now they're able to see, like we have this wonderful Fun Day Monday program in the summer and they were able to be part of it. We have fitness classes. We have all these things. And we've had a lot of requests almost daily when people say, I hope when this is all over, you're going to continue with these programs. So in a lot of ways, you know, even with LIAD, you guys can probably reach people who do have difficulty getting out, that are home and being cared for at home. So in a way, I mean, it's a kind of awful way to get to where we are, but we were kind of forced there. And now we have, you know, another medium, another vehicle to connect to seniors. So that's been our silver lining because we are going to be doing in-person things and also a lot of the virtual stuff once this is all over.
Absolutely. And same for LIAD. You know, now that we have the virtual programming, we recognize that we're always going to be able to offer hybrid programming so that people can choose right. how and where and when they get their services. Because, you know, in the populations that we're serving, it's quite often that someone can't come to our center. They are ill, they can't get out, it's cold, it's slippery, mm-hmm. it's whatever, even though we have transportation door to door with trained people on the bus to help everybody. Sometimes it's a comfort level thing. And maybe someone doesn't want to come to the center this week, this day or whatever. Now they can avail themselves of the services at home. So it's absolutely here to stay. And that is a silver lining. You don't have to go without on that day. It is a silver lining. I believe in silver lining right. across the board.
Jennifer, you mentioned earlier something that the LIAD does is family counseling.
Yes.
And to me, we've had the unfortunate pleasure of having a family member with Alzheimer's. And it becomes a family affair, whether you like it or not.
Yep.
You know, it is. And just thinking about the technology part of it again, you know, every member of the family could now partake, even if you live in Michigan or wherever, you can have some people at the center, maybe not right now, of course, but if that were to come back, which it will, but the technology part of it would enable those who might be sort of left out, if you will, of the support that's required, frankly, to get through things like this.
Absolutely. That's another fantastic silver lining, which I absolutely love, because you don't have to, or let's say you have a family member here now who's taking part in family counseling and they move away or a child goes to college or whatever, they can still participate same as they were right. when they were here. It's such a wonderful thing. I'm so pleased about some of those things because they are more than a silver lining. They're just a brilliant way that we can now conduct our lives that is so meaningful and profound for families or individuals to keep that going. It's a game changer.
You know, it strikes me all the time that in some backward way, the early stage part of this thing is the hardest part. And I don't know, I'll give you my thinking on that, all right? Okay. First of all, you may not have an open communication with the person who you love and care for who was having the problem. Mm-hmm. And all of the family may not accept the fact that this is really what's going on. Mm-hmm. What kind of, like, the early stages part of it, what does LIAD do as far as that goes? Like, I know you had, I read on your website, consultations. Are those consultations for people who are family members, caregivers, rather than the person who's actually has the problem?
Yeah, that is such a great point. So that's, you know, we've struggled with that a little bit as an organization in terms of people resisting coming into the center because they're saying, well, I don't have Alzheimer's or dementia. And we considered, you know, do we want to name ourselves something different? And well, we can't because this is what we do, but we get some pushback sometimes. So what we have now and what we've had for some time now is what's called, you know, Meetup Tuesdays or Meetup Thursdays. And that's just basically for people who are in early stages, very early stages, or maybe not even. Let's say they're just sort of forgetful. Frankly, my husband falls in this category. you know, so people who are, who their family members are saying, you know, maybe my loved one is exhibiting some signs. To your point, maybe other family members say, you know what, I don't really think so, because a lot of times there is discord in the family. There could be people who are in denial. We see that a ton. And usually that has more to do with historical emotional issues of themselves or their family relationships. But it's a very, very complicated thing. So these meetup Tuesdays are for them to come into the center. It's more of a social networking with other people, really couched as having nothing really to do with the disease. And it's just a social thing. And it's sort of dipping your toe in and meeting some other people. And it's a great way to start. And for some reason, we are able to get people in for that. And it's less, it's much, much less intimidating and scary. And it's an entree in. And they can learn what other people, you know, it's like a discussion group, you know, how is this going for you? And what are you seeing here for yourself? And this and that. And they hear the exact same stories from other people just like them. And now they've got that comfort factor of being, you know, we all like to be with people going through the same thing we are, right? Then we don't feel so isolated and odd and what's happening. It's very, very comforting. And now they feel that they can avail themselves of whatever additional services we have to offer. That's been very, very successful in getting over that emotional hump or that resistance. So that's been really great for us.
Do doctors and get maybe involved with that at all? Like maybe referring people?
Oh, absolutely. Doctors are our biggest referral source because they are, whether that's gerontologists or neurologists, geriatricians, it could be primary care physicians, because they are seeing their patients, and often they are their long-term patients. Either they're getting diagnosed or they're just hearing these issues, and then they will make the referrals to us.
To me, that's a hard part. And I read not long ago, they're talking about a blood test that might help diagnose Alzheimer's.
I'd love to speak to that after the break.
That would be good.
Yeah. So we'll address that as soon as we come back. You've been listening to Project Independence and You at WCWP.org, and we will be right back after a short break.